This is TWiT.
Apparently, Google makes its self-driving cars in Livonia. Is that near Moldova and Kazakhstan? I don't know what.
Is that a place or is it a city? Or
I believe it's Michigan, right?
It's near Detroit.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of cool.
Well, that means they're going to actually be able to test them in snow now. So that's really good.
Oh, They didn't work in snow, did they?
No.
Autonomous vehicles don't work except in
California drivers.
Only in California. The goal is to have driverless cars on the market within 5 years, says Chris Urmson, director of self-driving cars for Google. This is an article from the Detroit Free Press. Apparently, if you live in Detroit, you don't have to be explained where Livonia is. It sounds like Fredonia, fictional country where the Marx Brothers lived, but apparently it's near Detroit.
Or Elbonia.
Elbonia.
That's where all the programmers worked in Dilbert.
Within 5 years. Are you ready? That's a 2020.
I'm ready.
Would you get one of these? And just there's no steering wheel.
Yeah.
You just get in the car and you say, take me home.
Okay. You say, okay, Google. Oh no.
Well, we've all seen that Silicon Valley episode. Yes. Where
I just realized this could be the problem. You're listening to Twig and Leo starts directing.
Okay, Google, take me to Livonia. Okay, Google, yeah. Take me home is Livonia. Right now, it's legal. Driverless cars are legal in Nevada, Florida, Washington, D.C., California, and Michigan. I think, though, I may be wrong, but I seem to remember it was for research purposes, not just, you know, you could take it out on the road. You can't just get in your autonomous vehicle and drive around.
I think Google's going to have to come up with the one they have now is cute and everything, but I think they're going to have to come up with something a little more Jetson style or, you know, Tesla style for a bunch of people to bother getting in.
That is fairly Jetson style.
It looks a little.
But I mean, somebody, I think it was Megan McArdle, said it's not so much a driverless car as a driverless golf cart.
They asked Urmson about that. They asked Urmson about that, and he said, when you first see a driverless vehicle in your neighborhood, do you want it to be a big black SUV? Do you want it to be
just
a Hummer?
Super fast.
No, yeah. He says, we chose that design because it looks safe and friendly and unintimidating.
It does.
And also that golf carts have different rules about them than cars.
Maybe that's it, yeah.
So, there are categories of cars, right? So I suspect that they're hedging their bets because you can drive golf carts all over the place. And you can drive them on roads in those jurisdictions, but they have different constraints on them from cars and trucks and so on.
I think these are also primarily urban vehicles, right? They're really...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they need to be small for parking and for getting around.
Yeah. Now, I think these have a smaller range than the ones that we're using before.
Right.
The other half of that thing is Tesla, isn't it? So Tesla is building the electric cars that people actually want, because they're very nice cars, and are talking about driverless Teslas and projecting that into the future as well. Yeah. And the thing is, this isn't going to be like a sudden thing. The people who bought Tesla Roadsters don't want driverless cars. They want to have full control and do 0-60 in 3 seconds, whatever the hell it is. But
I'll bet you $10. Uber is going to buy some driverless cars.
Oh, sure. Uber should.
So the first place you're going to see them is stuff like that. I think cabs, delivery vehicles. And then eventually they'll start becoming, you know, more consumer level.
That's kind of key too, because the autonomous vehicles that Google showed us all had steering wheels. They were regular, they're retrofitted regular cars. They had steering wheels and brakes and accelerators. These new little pod-like ones, they don't have a steering wheel.
Well, that was the point. That was the in order for them to be able to drive them on the road, they had to have someone sitting behind the wheel and have a wheel and have a big red
overhead. In case.
So this iteration is we're building them without that. But we're building little cuddly golf carts that won't hurt anyone if they hit them.
Well, what about the person inside? I just think there's psychologically this notion that I am at the mercy of this computer. Crashes. Whatever it wants to do, it's going to do, even if it's drive off a cliff, and there's nothing I can do to stop it.
I still like what you and I and Jeff were talking about, the question about whether the Google Smart Car AI would make a decision to drive you off a cliff if the only alternative was you were going to smash into a bus.
We had some visitors yesterday from Switzerland, and their two sons were studying in the United States. I said, what are they studying? They said, philosophy. Oh, boy. And I said, no, no, wait a minute. That is the new thing to study, because we're in a world now where ethicists, people who are, you know, deciding what artificial intelligence can and cannot do, it is a realm of philosophers and ethicists. That's a perfect thing to study right now. There's going to be a huge, there's going to be a huge demand for people to solve things like this. Like, well, okay, you're writing the software. The car could avoid collision in two ways. One, by steering into a bus full of school children. Two, by driving the person in the car off a cliff.
Occupant.
The occupant. So, I mean, the ethical, moral, right thing to do would, of course, be to drive off the cliff, save the children's lives, but...
But that they're prevented by the third law of robotics.
I'm the occupant. What do you do? What do you do?
Well, you know, there's these like throw the fat guy under the train things tend to be done by philosophers who don't actually understand physics. A fat guy would not stop a train. A little Google car would not stop a school bus. You know.
That's why they make them so small. You're going to die, and the occupant dies no matter
if
what.
If you search for car hit school bus on Google Photos, you'll see what a car looks like.
Yeah,
a
school bus. There's not much.
There's a reason school buses don't have seatbelts and weigh 5 tons.
Right.
It's because if they hit anything, the thing suffers.
It's a giant battering ram. The cost could be an issue. The LIDAR that these things use is $70,000.
Yeah, but that's, you know, you can scale that. That's because it's, you don't make many at the moment.
Right.
They're coming down.
All that is, you know, it's optics and sensors, and okay, there's a mechanical thing that makes it rotate.
That's actually what this guy said. He says it's not made of unobtainium.
Right. Well, hilarious. If you read the piece, one of the only accidents that a Google test car has had was when a driver manually moving one rear-ended a Prius.
I think that's really the truth, and the answer to that ethical question is, it's pretty clear these will save lives in net, because you know, if it's
hugely,
6,000 people die each year while texting.
But that was, you know, the point I was trying to make with the Teslas is that, and we've already seen this with cars, is that this isn't a once for all change to driverless cars. It's an incremental change.
Right.
The cars do more. The deaths from cars are down a lot because the cars have more and more stuff built in now. They have lane following. They have overtaking radar warnings. They have, you know, a whole set of ABS systems and things that can detect what's going on. And there's more and more computation going into the cars to make them safer. And the driverless thing is just, you know, an extrapolation point on that curve.